You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, you guys, welcome to another episode of Timber the Hoop Podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Mabel's here as always with Kings and Jordan. Fellas, what is going on with y'all on this lovely Wednesday night?
Chilling.
Chilling, boy. Relax, ready to, you know, ready to see how these finals end up.
Man, get right to it. Denver goes up 2-1, gets home court right back from Miami, 109-94 victory. Joker and Murray went off. Jokic, first 30-20-10 game in NBA Finals history, 32 points, 21 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 blocks. Murray, not to be outdone, 34-10-10 himself. Really a two-man show. They did get 11 from AG in a big second half from Christian Brown. I think they kind of broke the zone with Christian Brown. We'll get to that later. On the Miami side, Jimmy goes for 28. Bam goes for 22-17, although on 7-for-21 shooting. Struce and Vincent, 3-for-17 combined, 2-for-10 from 3 combined. Just cannot get anything going. I will say the biggest thing that jumped out to me off the rim before I go to you guys, before we just pass it around, is Denver's defending the 3-point line was way better this game. The Heat got a bunch of somebody put up the stat, like the vast majority of their threes from game 2 were uncontested. I think Denver did a better job of putting the Heat under duress on the 3-point attempts. So that's the obviously thing that jumped out, and the stats kind of back that up. But I'll start with you guys. Jordan, I'll start with you. I feel like you might hit it right on the nose with your analysis. You felt like, from your eye, Denver was complacent in game 2, and they came out and did not have that issue in game 3 at all. Just tell me what you saw, and then get it going.
Yeah, I mean, like, From the jump, dude, like, Denver's the more talented team. I think we all agreed. You know, Kings and I obviously picked them in 5 for a reason, right? And, you know, game 1, I felt like they were in control of the game. They were up 23 points, and the game, they ended up winning by 11, but, I mean, that game was never that close if you watch it. Like, that game was completely in control for Denver until the very, very end. And then game 2, I felt like, you know, Denver, I don't know if they were listening to outside noise or what, but they kind of came out like, oh, we're going to win this series. Like, it doesn't matter what we do. Like, we're more talented. We're the better team. Like, it doesn't really matter. And that's not to take away anything from Miami. Miami had a great game plan in game 2. They made Jokic a score. Everybody else kind of didn't show up. Michael Porter Jr. still has not showed up in this series, but now it's 2-1, right? But the biggest difference from game 2 to game 3 was Michael Porter Jr. still not hitting shots. But he actually tried on defense. He was there.
Yep.
He was much more engaged. KCP wasn't committing dumb 3-point fouls, right? Like, Denver was just way more engaged from, I wouldn't even say from the start, because from the start they kind of like came out a little shaky. But I'll say from like the middle of the first quarter to really the end of the game, they were a lot more engaged defensively. And you know, Christian Braun, however he likes, however it's pronounced. I mean, hell of a player, man. Like, I mentioned it during the Phoenix series, like, he wasn't afraid of KD at all in that series. Like, he, in the limited minutes he had, he went head to head with him, and you know, he actually did a really good job against KD. And you know, against Jimmy Butler tonight, he sees Jimmy Butler and he's like, bro, this food, you know what I mean? Like, he was not scared of the moment, he was not scared of Jimmy. And to me, that was a huge difference in the game, and it actually allowed Michael Malone to kind of take Michael Porter Jr. out, who was very inefficient on offense, and kind of changed the dynamic of the game. And now I'm looking at this series and it's like, okay, you know, we talked about game 2, Miami had a outlier shooting night, shot almost 50% from 3-point land. And that's kind of what it's going to take for them to win this series, is it's going to take incredible shooting nights, because they just don't have the personnel to defend Denver at the end of the day.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Yeah, I mean, the Denver is too big for the Miami at the end of the day. It's the rebounds wore them down.
Talk about it.
No, Bam, he played tough, played physical, but he's just too small, really, what it comes down to at the end of the day. What he has, you know, I made a tweet about he played more physically tough than AD, but what he has in physical toughness and probably better conditioning, AD has over in size and length. So, you know, Bam lacks those two things, and you can see, you know, Joker doesn't mind physicality at all. That's what he lives and thrives off, playing physical. So if you're going to play physical, but you're not tall enough to bother him, it doesn't really matter much necessarily if he gets to his spots, which he's able to do, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, as much as tough and as physical as Bron and Rui played Joker, they had AD on the help side. Bam doesn't have anybody on the help side. As you can see, it's a lot harder to ask for him to really slow down Jokic because he doesn't really have help. He's the back line. So Jokic is just a problem. He's just a problem, and they have no answer for him at all. He's on the cusp of a historical NBA playoff run. And, you know, like I said last – I think I said on the last pod, you just need Murray to hit his shots, bro. If Murray hits his shots like he did tonight, it's the series. The series is over. I mean, MPJ hasn't hit. KCP hasn't playing well, but just Murray and Jokic are enough to win this series. If they get anything from MPJ, if they get anything from KCP, like, you know, it's over. I mean, Aaron Gordon been playing consistent. I think he's going to remain consistent and level-headed. If they get anything from KCP, anything from MPJ, it's going to be a five-game series like I had going in.
Yeah, I thought Denver was way more proactive against the zone. They have been the best zone team in the best offensive team against zone in the NBA this season, regular season and playoffs. For some reason, they got real stagnant, and the ball didn't move, or there's no movement in game two. That was all gone today. They got cutters all over the place, guys being decisive with the ball. I thought a very key adjustment was, you know, KCP is more of a spot-up guy. But, you know, Brown is a downhill threat. So getting him against the already, you know, bent defense, you know, he was just causing havoc in that second half on the backside of that zone. But that was a great adjustment from Mike Malone. I'm just interested, where do the Miami Heat go now with that, you know, with the zone, quote unquote, figured out? I don't know what's next for Miami to pull out the hat. You know, I never count Spo out, but I'm kind of with Jordan here. They have to absolutely shoot lights out to mitigate the talent disadvantage in this series. Like, the 3-point is the great equalizer. We all know that. They're going to have to, like, be where they've been all playoffs, you know, mid to high 40s, high volume, to just kind of mitigate the talent deficit. And just on a deeper level, Joker, man, I think Kings is on to something with the twitch you have to throw at him. I think it's going to get to the point where it's going to sound sacrilegious, man, but with the way the league is, remember when teams played the Lakers, you had to just keep three bigs regardless of how good they were just for the fouls against Shaq?
Yep.
I think it might get to that point with Joker. I mean, not for the fouls, but just to have a bigger body. Like, Bam is a great defender, but anybody smaller than Joker, he's abused them all season.
Yep.
Because he just gets to a spot and just shoots over you. And he just has incredible touch, so it doesn't matter. I think teams just going to have to start. You have to keep, you know, two or three, like, footers on the bottom. Like, Dwight's going to be employed next year. Just off the joke
around. He finally had the vision, boys.
Yeah, so I think, like, Dwight's going to be employed next year. Just off, like, Boogie Cousins is going to be employed next year. Just off this the run, I think. Joker is that paradigm shifting with the run he's having, because how many teams we saw where they just had one big and nobody else, and it was just a curtains.
Yeah.
For the whole, it's like, it's tough. You know what I mean? And the guy who gave him the most trouble, ironically, was Rudy Gobert.
He was an elite defender.
That's what I'm saying. So it was like, you don't need bodies. And they play two footers in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at how the league is trending too, I mean, you got you know, guys like even the forwards now, right, are footers. Guys like Jabari, he's like 6'11" to 7 foot. Chet Holmgren, 7 foot. Wembanyama coming into the league. It's that league to where size is going to be very important going forward anyway. And when your best player is seven in the world is 7 foot, that imposing dominantly. Giannis is the second best player. He's 6'11". The MVP is 7 foot.
Right.
And then the future, freaks are 7 foot. Like, it's just hard. Like, it's hard to say. It's just very, I mean, you can, like, stylistically, you want to play one big, but you can't be undersized. Like, you can't be undersized in this new NBA. Like, that's going to be so detrimental going.
Yeah, I think me and Kings have had a battle on this pod for 3 seasons now about wings versus bigs. He's up right now, I fear. I've always said you went on the wings. Kings has always had a big man agenda, and I think he's up now.
Well, the three most important things in the NBA right now is protecting the rim, pressuring the rim, and shooting threes, right? So if you have length and athleticism, I mean, you basically cover two of those things, right? And then if those guys can also shoot threes, like a Chet Holmgren, I mean, that makes him, like, that much more dynamic. I mean, the problem with Chet, obviously, is he's a twig, but his length is the great equalizer. He's 7'6" wingspan, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, it's like you could be – you don't have to be that strong because your length is just so incredible.
Yeah. So going into game four, obviously I think Miami season's on the line. I don't think they would come back from 3-1. What do they have to do for you guys to not go to Denver, you know, facing a frenzy crowd trying to get their first championship? What do you think they have to do to prolong this series?
Shoot 50% from three. I think that's the only I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think there's anything else they can do.
It's that. And then I think Jimmy has to have one of those first round games he had against the Bucks.
I think he's worn out though.
That probably might be upset, but I'm saying for them to extend the series, I think that's one of those two things has to happen. They got to shoot lights out, or Jimmy has to have one of those games he pulled out of a hat against Milwaukee. What do you think, Kings?
I just think it's over. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not much left for him.
Ooh, we'll see. I mean, I think Denver is six. It's not looking good right now. I think the biggest thing I can say is Miami needs Denver to play way down from their peak to have a chance. I think that's the big, most disturbing thing. Like, part of Miami's success is dependent on Denver not playing well.
They only were 3 points, and they played bad in game two.
Yeah. And the crazy part is Denver was 5 for 18 again from three tonight. They still can't make a three.
And Miami shot lights out game two and won by 3 points, and they were down most of that game. Like, this series is over. Like, the only chance Miami had was to win this game. Like, I picked Denver in five because I felt like Denver was going to come out and dominate this game and win this game handily, and they did. And like, there's nothing that tells me other than, like, giving respect to Spo and Jimmy on their home court that they're going to win. Like, they tactically don't have the advantage. They don't have the roster advantage. They don't have the player advantage in terms of the best player on the floor. Like, it's just so much things going up. It's going against them. Yeah, man. Like, if MPJ and KCP, if they shoot well next game, it's a blow. You know what I mean? Like, there's just nothing else you can say.
Dude, 58 to 33 on the glass is nuts, bro.
Yeah. And that's not going to change. Miami's not changing,
bro. You can't win a game getting out-rebounded like that, bro. You can't. Right. It's impossible.
Because I think that pretty much the possessions alone, it mitigates. So, you know, Miami's plus 18 from three tonight. But it doesn't matter because of the possessions you gave back to Denver. Like, that's how big the discrepancy is. So,
and it's not only Jokic, too, on the glass. Aaron Gordon was a problem.
Yeah, they got a lot of guys rebounding. I mean, Jamal Murray had 10. Aaron Gordon has 10. Porter has 7. So, it's like everybody's on the team is hitting the glass.
Yeah.
So, definitely.
Good luck.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, something I did want to talk to you guys about last couple things from the last pod that we didn't get to go over. Let's go over these coaching hires, man. I really want to talk what you guys think about this. Obviously, coaching is a hot topic on the timeline, all as always. Let's start here. So Vogel to Phoenix, like it, love it. What do you got?
Vogel, I really think they'll have a top five defense next year. I'm seeing Vogel work magic with bare minimum defensively. A lot of people kept bringing up what he did in Orlando, like that wasn't a century ago in NBA years. Like, you know, just look at what he did with the Lakers when LeBron and AD were hurt most of the year. They were still the number one defense in the NBA, almost comfortably, by as a matter of fact. So, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to put the defenders around KD and Booker. They're going to say, hey, KD and Booker, they're going to handle the offense. Vogel's going to be like, get me the defensive guys who can play defense off them, who can be synergistic, who are low maintenance offensively. And that's how they're going to play. And I think there will be a top five defensive unit. KD and Book do compete on the defensive end. So I think Vogel was a good hire.
Yeah. I mean, before I go to Jones, real quick, I really feel like just Dylan Brooks is a perfect fit there. On just like a 1 year, you know, rekindle your value deal. Fits right with Frank Vogel. Obviously, I want to get Jordan. You could give your thoughts on this. I want Kings too. They've obviously the ownership. They're all in on DeAndre Ayton, based on what I'm hearing. They obviously, according to Chris Haynes, a couple conflicting reports between the three top dogs in basketball media: Wade, Haynes, Shams, Woj. Apparently, Chris Paul is going to be given his weight be waived. Other guys just said are going to talk about it. So they're obviously siding with Ayton here. They want Ayton to be a part of what they do. Jordan, what do you think about all that? In addition to, you know, Chris Paul no longer being a son.
I was gonna say, I mean, I like the hire, but I got to see like the final product as far as the roster is concerned, because I mean, they had like a lot of holes on the roster. You know, obviously they had to gut the roster just to get KD. So now it's like, how do they improve that roster?
Right.
There's reports of that they're shopping Ayton. Obviously the reports of that they're going to waive Chris Paul. You know, we talked about this, I think it was last show. I was like, I don't think anybody's willing to trade for Chris Paul's contract. At the end of the day, like the only team that's going to accept a trade for him is like Oklahoma City, who will take a draft pick and then they'll cut him and they'll waive him, right? So I think that at the end of the day, if they don't want him to be a part of the roster, they're going to have to waive him. Like, I don't see any room for that. So at the end of, like, I think Vogel's a great hire. I gotta see the roster, man. I gotta see the roster.
Woo, man. Case, I gotta ask you, because I want to dig deeper into the Chris Paul thing. I gotta ask you. So obviously the Lakers are gonna be in on this. Both LA teams, his kids go to school in LA. So that's obviously going to be a draw if they're interested. If he does go to the Lakers, where do you see his fit? Do you want him on the Lakers? And how do you think, you know, the role will be?
Talk about CP3, correct?
Yeah.
Y'all already know he's going to the Lakers.
it's the Lakers or Phoenix. That's what it's been in terms of local reports. But, I mean – you have the small guard situation, which I tend to agree. I'll say this. If they do get CP3, I do think then they have to move AD to the four. I think if they go the CP3 route with D'Angelo Russell and Reeves, I think you have to move AD to the four and you have to get a real five. Like, you have to flip the pick, Beasley, Bamba, and go get a five that's that'll start. And I think if that's the case, you have D'Lo eat the minutes in the regular season, and then, you know, use them interchangeably, keep CP3 upright. Then the playoffs, you just start with CP3, bring D'Lo off the bench, and then, you know, move how it needs to be moved, play whoever based on the matchup, play whoever based on who's hot. If CP3's in and you have the two bigs, you'll be able to feed both of them. But I think if they do get CP3, and it looks like they will, I think the 80 at the five experiment is over, if that's the case. And I think with how Jokic has come to the scene, I just think they're going to look at that. They've been trying to find ways to keep 80 at the four. 80's been trying to keep Steph at the four. With the way Jokic has played, I think they have all the perfect excuse to go flip their assets and finally go get Miles Turner like they've been trying to do for God knows how long at this point.
Yes, man, the price on Miles is up. Career year, the impact numbers on both ends are like top tier for centers. He was fringe like a top, you know, 5, 6, 7 center, bro. So it's not like, you know, man. So we'll see. I was angling for this move years ago when the price was, you know, doable. Just off the fact you got two defenders that great.
Why not just work with Bamba though?
What'd you say?
Why not just try and make it work with Mo Bamba?
I think they'll potentially look at that. I think they'll try and swing in the offseason.
Yeah. I think what Bamba is, man, he can't stay on the floor. That's the other thing. Like, that team already going to have durability issues. I think, man, if you get 55 games out of Bron, you know, that's a W. You get 65 out of AD, that's a W. You know, you got to tread water those 17, 20 games. You know what I mean?
You guys also might get Draymond.
I'm not even dignifying that with a response, dude. Watch out. last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here. So I felt like Dame kind of drew a line in the sand here, because a bunch of smoke about, you know, obviously Wimby's going first to San Antonio. Charlotte, they're all in on LaMelo as their guy, really looking at Miller at number two. So three, obviously, Scoot's obviously the guy at three, right? I think he's up there at that top echelon of the draft.
He hasn't many say he should go to.
Right.
Give me Brandon Miller.
So I'm with you on that, Jordan. Even though I think it's damaged, but I think that this is a very deep draft. So at the top, at least, I would say. Dame says, you know, paraphrasing, they have the assets to go and make themselves a winner. And then he says, you know, goes on to say, now if that doesn't happen, then there's another conversation we need to have. And that's the closest he's been to saying, I'm out of here. He finally gave a list of teams. Brooklyn was on it. Miami was on it. So, you know, I think Portland's already bought Scoots, a couple of Scoots, you know, people into the organization, or one of his people into the organization. What did you guys think about that? I thought, like, that's like Dave never says anything beyond the company line is, I want to be in Portland. He finally took a step out of that. So what do you think about that, Kings? I'll start with you.
He gone. Gone. Come on, man. Like, the writing's on the wall. As soon as they got the third pick and LaMelo and them got the second pick, you know, I said that on draft night. Yeah. Miller, Hornets, everybody was like, hey, Scoot playing both. It's like, no, Jordan's not going to do that. Hornets have been desperate for a wing.
Yes.
For a while. And they finally get a chance to not only get a wing, but potentially a franchise wing. They're not passing up on that for a franchise guard, which they feel they already have. And as well as another good guard in Terry Rozier. Like, they're not going to do it. And for Portland, like we said, bro, this is the perfect time to rebuild. Not only do you get to trade Dame and get assets, but you get to replace Dame with another potential future franchise-changing guard who many people are clamoring is up next at the guard spot. And you get to replace your all-time leading guard with a potential new all-time leading guard, as well as have even more assets to build around him with the young guys you already have on your roster. If you don't trade Dame, like, you'll kick yourself for not restarting at this point when you had the perfect chance.
In addition to that, I'll say I'm with you on that. I was like, this is the perfect time. You have literally the best young core in basketball, or the most coveted young core in basketball. You have Shaedon Sharpe, who is a monster second half of the season. Anthony Simons, young killer coming into his own. Somebody will give you something for Nurk. Size is in. You will get something for Nurk. Like, you can really rebuild your cupboard here and give the fans something to get behind as far as rebuilding. That's what I think. Jordan, what did you think about what Dame said?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think he knows the writing's on the wall in Portland because, you know, I'm a smart guy. I'm not a very smart guy, but I'm kind of smart. I'm not as smart as Joe Cronin, who's the GM of Portland. But, I mean, we're sitting here talking about it. Obviously, him and his scouts and his team know, like, we have an easier path to rebuild than we do to actually become a contender. We have Shaedon Sharpe here, we got Anthony Simons. You know, now we have the third pick. It's much easier for us to go in the direction of rebuilding rather than bring on a veteran heavy contract. What if it doesn't work? And now we're stuck. We lose all these assets and we're stuck here. I just think it's time to move on. It's time to do this rebuild here. I think Dame knows that. He's probably been told that. And so now he's kind of making it like, oh, it's not them, it's me, right? I want to go.
I mean, I honestly think just Dame was just like from that KG. I think, you know, after all those years, people were begging KG to leave Minnesota. Yeah. You know, they finally went to him and was like, dude.
Yeah.
You gave us a decade. We got to like cash in now. You know what I mean? So I think it's getting to that point. Well, Brooklyn was on his list. Miami was on his list. Where would you like to see him go? Don't say Milwaukee, Jordan. Where would you like to see him go? That's feasible. It makes basketball sense. If you think that's Milwaukee, well, tell me the deal to get it done then.
I don't know if there's a deal to get it done, but I think with Brooklyn, I just think that they don't have – I think that they would have to gut a lot of their role players and stuff so that he would kind of be in a similar situation. Like, yeah, it'll be him and Mike Callen and who, you know what I mean? As far as Miami's concerned, like, Miami does have, like, Nikola Jovic, who is a fine young player, 19.
I'm high on him, bro. I think he's going to be
– He's going to be a player. As well as they have draft assets too, so I mean, I could definitely see him going there. It's just
how much picks does Miami really have, though?
They haven't traded any deal, so like they could directly throw the Stepien rule, so like every other pick for some swaps because they still have all their picks.
Yeah,
and Hero as well. Maybe
Hero's like. Honestly, I don't. If I'm Portland, I don't know if I want Hero, but
they'd redirect Hero to a third team for something else.
Yeah,
I think they would do that.
But I think Nikola Jovic. I think NBA teams are high on him too.
They are.
And especially like once Summer League comes around, and he's gonna be a focal part of Miami Summer League team. I'm telling y'all, we're gonna see him ball out, and teams are gonna be like, man, what the heck? Especially because Miami drafts all these they get all these undrafted rookies that ball out, right? And they drafted Nikola Jovic in the end of the first round. That kid was supposed to be a lottery pick, but teams passed on him because he was skinny and he was 18 years old. It's going to be a disaster, dude. Like, he's a good player. So I think he can definitely go to Miami. My only concern is that it's like a situation where KD went to Golden State, right? And I don't know if Dame fears that kind of backlash. It's like, oh, you went to a team that was just in the championship, you know what I mean? Force your way over there.
Well, they didn't win 73 games, and Miami didn't knock them out the playoffs either.
True.
I think there was a couple other variables that made – I didn't care. I just thought free agency is free agency, so I got it. I'm 95% of the time I'm a pro player. So I think the variables were a little different, but I get what you're saying. I don't think Dame would care. He's never been that – you know, hearing him talk, he's never been that type of guy. People would tell him to lead Portland for 4 years, and he'd been like, whatever, I'm here, so –
True. Milwaukee, though. That's where I want to see him go.
Go ahead, man. Good. I'm good. I'll just throw the Lakers out there for you then, just to make it. just want to get you guys' takes on that. We'll be back after game four. Make sure you follow Dr. King's, bro. Still got to get used to it, man. Congrats again, my guy. I'm not gonna ever get tired of congratulating my boy, man. That's huge right there. Follow Jordan Rules, TSP, myself, JJMembers55_MST. You guys be safe, and we are out of here. Word.